I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. This is the very first round by round recap of 2021. It's for the Century Tournament of Champions. And joining me to break it all down, Kyle Porter is here. KP, what up, big guy?
Not much. It's fun to have golf back. It's, it's been a weird few days, obviously, but yeah, we're going to talk about some golf. Bryson was at it again on and off the course. I'm ready to discuss it.
Let's jump in. We're going to run through this. So if you're new, welcome. The round by round recaps right here for you every single time. And the Tournament of Champions is led by a guy who didn't win in 2020, right? Didn't punch his ticket here because he was a champion, and it's Harris English 8 under par. A good J-Ray stat here. Justin Ray, the only player in the field to hit all 15 fairways, and all time at this plantation course, only 2.2% of all rounds yield a perfect fairway average. So obviously, KP, putting it in the fairway is just half the battle, but he had everything working on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Todd Lewis on Golf Channel summed it up pretty well afterwards, where he said, look, this isn't surprising to people that have been paying attention. And that's true. I mean, Harris English was, what, one of the 12 best players in the world last year?
Yeah, pretty easily, you could not make an argument that he was outside of the top 12. He was very, very good.
Yeah, and you can go to like, oh, well, he didn't win. Jim Herman won. Okay, I get that. But like, Harris English was awesome last year. And Jason Sobel pointed this out too. I thought it was interesting. He had a tweet about how good he's been in first rounds. I think he was second on tour last year in first round scoring average. So I think the thing for him is you got to figure out how to close. He hadn't, you know, the last time he won?
Yeah, I looked it up. It was like 2000. Was it 15?
It was before Rory's won a major more recently than Harris English has won a golf tournament.
Then I was giving him too much credit. Oh my gosh.
It was 2013. And he's somebody that, I don't know, you think of him as, obviously he kind of faded over the last couple of years, but I think of him over the last 10 years and think, oh, Harris English, you know, been around, done some good. He's only won twice, you know, and he hasn't won since 2013. And so he's got to figure out how to be there on Sunday, you know, because he's there. Didn't he finish runner up to DJ when he won by 11?
Yeah, the Northern Trust. He ran into the DJ bus stall.
Yeah, so that's kind of like a fake second. I mean, it not for him, obviously, but it just, you're not really in it. So get in it on Sunday. And I think that's kind of the next, that's the next step in this kind of rekindling of the Harris English career.
You know, the worst thing in poker is when someone tells you their bad beat story, or the worst thing in betting is when someone tells you how they're like 12 leg parlay lost on the last stretch. So I'm going to give you one here, KP, just because everybody loves these. So I was scheduled to go on CBS Sports HQ this morning and I had all my picks in order. I had my DFS stuff in there. One of them was first round leader. I was ready to rock and roll with Harris English because, as you mentioned, the stat that I pulled on him was since the start of 2020, in this field, he had the best strokes gained total in round ones of anybody in this field. Yeah, better than everybody. So I'm ready to rock and roll. Mets make a trade for Francisco Lindor. I get pushed for breaking news. I never get to get this bet out in the airwaves, my man, and I get no credit for it. So now I'm here begging for it with you. I don't think it's working.
Yeah, I believe you though. You don't have to like convince me of anything. We've been friends for a long time. I love that StatMuse hoodie, by the way. That's great.
Thank you. This I have a hat too that showed up at my door one day, and they're getting like years of free press for it. It's unbelievable. best thing they ever sent. The guy that Harris English is tied with also should not be surprising. One Justin Thomas, who shoots a 65, looked like he was in complete control. I mean, he made the turn at, I think he was 5 under. He was bogey free. It's just JT being JT.
Yeah. I don't have a ton on JT broadly because we're going to be talking about him all weekend. I thought that one quick point. So the 13th hole, I don't know if you saw this. He hits a drive way out to the right, and he does the, your favorite thing, the I can't even get it right in the camera.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a tighter shot now.
And it's, the classic JT. And so he had to pitch out. They barely found the ball. He makes a 37 through for par. And it just was it was so emblematic of, and I've heard Andy Johnson talk about this on the Fried Egg. And you and I have talked about this too. Like, he's so good at everything. Like, he's so freaking hard to beat, because he doesn't have a weakness. You could, and we've talked about this with Greg, and Greg's kind of pointed out the driving stuff. And I'm in on that take. I think it holds water. I think it has merit. And I think JT would probably say that as well. But I think that, he makes up for some of that stuff with how mentally engaged he is. I mean, he's just grinding out everything. And he's so good in every aspect. And I thought the 13th hole, it was a par in the first round of potentially a meaningless event for him. But to me, it represented like everything about him, it represented why he's so great. And maybe that's dumb, but that was just one thing that stood out to me in his round.
Yeah, and like Austin, Dustin Johnson's caddy, like stepped on his ball with like 3 seconds to spare in the search. He punches it out. He hits where it hits the 37 feet and rolls it in. It's unbelievable stuff.
Yeah,
what he's able to accomplish. Speaking of unbelievable stuff, Bryson DeChambeau. He is just the talk of golf on the course, off the course. He shot a 4 under round of 69. I have to keep doing the math because it's a par 73. But I think the highlight from his day was post round. And we have this clip of Bryson after he finished up on 18.
So I implemented some of his techniques. A lot of it has to do with pushing the limits of your body and going for long hours of, swinging your golf club with a golf ball and trying to up the ball speed. There are points where, I don't know if you've ever experienced a runner's high or something like that, where you get these extra endorphins, and that's kind of what breaks your neurological CNS, I guess, just what breaks your nervous system down, which is a great thing. And over time, as you keep building it and you keep pushing it and pushing it, it just keeps going up and up. And so that's kind of a basic principle of what he's done. He's just overworked his CNS like a madman, and he's shown me some really cool techniques that allowed me to sustain speed on the golf course, and I feel like I was a little faster out there today, which is awesome to have, and I just gotta learn to hone it in.
There you go. What more is there to be said? He's actually referring to the time he spent with Kyle Berkshire, long drive champion that Kyle, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago when he was hanging out with Kyle for a couple of days and figuring it all out. And this is just another moment in time. Like, Bryson's not done. He's never stopping. I actually thought he assessed his round better than it looked. He was pretty happy with the way he played. I thought he didn't play all that well and still found a way to get it in a 69, but this is just the first round of 2021, and it's going to be a lot more of Bryson doing this stuff.
Yeah, it's I think the origination of it wasn't this, but the one that sticks out is, remember when he talked about dynamic load like 4 years ago when he was qualifying for the US Open, and you're just like, whatever, dude. Like, I feel like you're just saying he's just saying things that I'm like, maybe you know what these mean, but maybe not. I thought the thing that stood out to me more, I was reading his transcript, is he hit a 7 iron on 18 into 18. What is that? That's insane.
It was a 200. I want to make sure I get this right here. It was 267 yards to the pin is what he had there. According to ShotLink, he had a 7-iron there.
So he goes driver 7-iron into a 675 yard par 5.
Right.
But
that's a different game.
There's not a distance problem for sure. I mean, look, like he's going to be in so many of these tournaments only like solely because he hits it the way he does off the tee. And that's a credit. We've talked about this a million times. That's a credit to him. The whole like song and dance thing that he does, it's so after every round, it's a different scientific term. It's like Bryson bingo with the scientific terms. It's just, I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not. I don't even know if he knows what's real and what's not, but it's certainly entertaining, I guess.
It sounds like me when I go on Wikipedia and I get stuck in like a little Wikipedia wormhole and I learn like three new things, but I don't know that much about it, but I've got like enough to say to you, but don't ask me any follow-up questions. I don't know if that's
for sure. Don't ask any follow-up. I mean, you can tell like the demeanor that he has as he's talking. I've had that demeanor multiple times a day where I am like trying to explain something to my wife or my kids, and I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I kind of am like in the ballpark of it. And that's, you can tell like that's sort of the demeanor there.
Looking ahead to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Justin Thomas emerges as the favorite here on Thursday evening. He's plus 250. Harris English is plus 750. But this is the time of year, KP, we are back at it. We get to be like, okay, who hit the ball really well and who putted like garbage? And I've got a couple of names for you. First of all, Hideki had a historically putting round. It was the second worst round that I have in my database. That goes back to 2015. So even for Hideki, who's always bad on the greens, losing 4.4 strokes is one of his worst. It's so terrible. I don't know how he does it.
What if Hideki was a zero putter?
He'd have many, many wins and probably multiple major. I mean, wouldn't it drive you crazy if every day for 5 years you were an absolute stripe show with the best in the world, and then you got on the green, you got this little club in your hand and there's a little ball behind it, and you just and you're so much worse than everybody else. Like that would just it'd be insanity. It would eat me alive.
Yeah, because you know, I think the way that guys probably, I don't know, this may or may not be true, but I think the way guys think about it is like 95% of the game is tee to green, right? That's not statistically true. And maybe that's not how most guys think about it, but that's like when you think about golf, you think about great swings, you think about big drive, you know, great iron play. And for him to be so good in those areas and so bad, it's got to be demoralizing.
Yeah. I agree. The fact that he's still been around and is like inside the top 20 in the world is like a testament to his like mental strength, because I would not be strong enough to be.
Hideki might be the best tee to green player. He might actually be like the best ball striker of all time. And like, we don't really know it because everything else just demoralizes him so much.
Friend of the pod, Colin Morikawa, gained 3.3 strokes from tee to green. He was third best in the field on Thursday, lost over 2.5, including missing a real shorty on 18 to get in. He's 4 under, he's 4 back. That might be a guy who could make a move over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I agree. The one on 18, it was bad.
It was real bad.
I mean, it was short, and it's just that's got to, again, it's got to be so frustrating that I don't know. I was impressed by him though, because I came in a little, not wary, but he did the thing that we see so often where you go in a major and then you kind of just, you're kind of looking around and like you don't really know what to do after that. And yeah, he didn't do anything after winning the PGA. So I came in a little wary on him. So it was good to see him hit the ball well.
He's also he's back to that. It's not a two ball, but it's like the mallet style. He's off the blade, which I think this has popped up a couple of times in like the last year and a half. But it was kind of jarring to see him not using the blade. I don't know if he thinks that's better for him or what.
Didn't the blade just look so much more professional?
Yes. There's a reason I don't use a blade. I need all the help that I can get, but I wish I could. I wish like it would, it looks so much better. But
although I do like, I think I think it's TaylorMade, the spider.
Yeah.
Like that one actually, I think that's become normalized because so many guys use it, but some of the other stuff, you're just like some of the stuff Finau's used and the Schwartzel putter. And oh, just, yeah. There's some weird stuff that looks like somebody who's like a 15 handicap trying to get to single digits would be using, but it's actually the number 7 player in the world using it.
Who's more likely to make a move? Cause I think both these guys are not super happy with where they finish. John Rahm's 3 under. He's in a tie for 22nd. Dustin Johnson 2 under in a tie for 30th. Rahm did a lot of head scratching, KP. I mean, we've got the whole new clubs narrative. It looked like he had a couple of shots he wasn't too thrilled with. And then DJ, DJ was just kind of DJ. He played all right, just didn't putt well.
I saw 3 holes of Rahm. One, he pulls a drive out of bounds. Mm-hmm. He hits a borderline shank on 18 out of the fairway.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
And you're like, I mean, you want to just run into the new equipment thing, but it's kind of like, I don't know, he kind of does that sometimes. Like we talked about that earlier this week. Like, yeah. It's just a little bit who he is. I think I would go with Rahm. DJ always can. I was reading after we talked on earlier this week, like previewing the tournament, I read some DJ quotes about how he was like, I'm kind of rusty, but I'm not super rusty. And I was like, that seems problematic. Like that seems concerning.
There's different degrees of rust. Also, I will say this. So the same time period that I quoted on Harris English stats earlier. So measured rounds, round one in 2020, only 3 guys in this field were worse than DJ. DJ lost a half a stroke per round in round ones, which is like jarringly bad. Only Kevin Na, Robert Streb, and Brian Gay were worse.
So well, he had an 80 and a 78 in there.
Oh, that's true. That's
not helpful. He probably lost 14 strokes. Actually, I went back and looked it up. I think he lost 20 strokes on the 80, 78. And still finish like +3 on the like the period of time that I was looking at or something.
I forgot about those rounds. Yeah, that's definitely gonna hurt the average quite a bit. All right, anybody else here we should keep an eye on before we put a bow on this?
My pick, Patty Reed, Eagles 18. You know, I thought I didn't see his final numbers. It seemed like he struck the ball better. I've got him right here.
He did
somewhere.
Yeah, he gained a half a stroke off the tee, gained nearly 3/4 of a stroke on approach. He putted well. He gained in every single category. Yeah.
He was kind of really solid all the way around. I think he was 16-1 beforehand. It looks like he's 9-1 now. So he takes it so freaking seriously. I think that even Bryson was kind of just, you know, chilled out a little bit, I guess, for him. And Reed is just, he's a maniac. I think he's interesting. I think Rahm is kind of, you know, working there as well.
I would watch a sitcom, I guess it's not a sitcom, a reality show where you lock Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau into a room for like, I don't know, like 14 straight days and just see what happens.
So like should that be the Ryder Cup pairing? Should they just throw them two together? Like we don't know what to do with these guys. Let's just put them together.
Yeah. Like you guys, like who wants to play with these guys? Like, let's just do it and let the crazy figure itself out. I don't know. That might be pretty fun.
I think that would be great because I think everybody else could just be like, okay, whatever. They're going to do their thing. It might, who knows, but everybody else can kind of just, you know, be normal.
I love it. Be normal. That's what we're not going to do. We'll be back in round 2, round 3, round 4. Obviously, enjoy some golf action for now. That's Kyle Porter, who you can find on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. Producer Jacob behind the glass. I'm Rick Gaiman at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.